Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, back to the studio of the Beth Israel Ministries, joining us to understand our own viewpoint of that which is being raised up on the internet all over the world, so that we will not stand aside and watch an important event like this, an important battle like this being fought, and we will not join in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As the book of Songs of Deborah said, Meroz is cursed for being neutral in a divine battle, a battle that was fought from the divine viewpoint. Nobody should be neutral. I love Pastor Abel Damina and his kind of people more than the people that are keeping quiet among pastors. It's better you are for or against in a divine warfare than for you to be silent. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because most silent people will become casualty of war, while those who went to war will come back with loot, with war benefits. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be a casualty. Don't be an onlooker. The reason why God hates Nicolaitan doctrine is because the Christian message, you know, some people say, we are given the name Christian by Gentiles. Our original name is Sons of God. Yes, it's true. Our original name is about to say, whosoever believeth, he shall become the sons of God, son of God. To them that believeth, he gave them power to become the sons of God. So what we originally are, sons of God. How did we become sons of God? By believing. And so, all over the world, in a particular city, they were first called Christians in Antioch. In a particular city in Antioch, when they were there, they separated themselves from the world. Anybody that was believer, anybody that was born again, joined the congregation of believers in worship. And by the teaching and the doctrines, they separated themselves from the world. They were no longer running along with them into their rivalries and all their kinds of drunkenness and all the culture they were practicing. So they became Jew guys. You know what you call, you know, when a called boy say, who is this Jew guy? You know what it means? That means this guy is off. He's not like us. He doesn't use the, so they call all those boys Jew guys. Say, man, this Jew guy, they vex me. I go do and get a bar. Me, say, forget that guy. Why you want to waste? Why you want to waste granite for that guy body now? He's a Jew guy. You understand what I'm saying? Say, the guy, well, you know, because you talk, Capone, it's not because you talk, so I've got this guy, gaga. All this rubbish. All right? So they call Christians Jew guys. People that don't fit into the society. People that have withdrawn from the social life of that hour, and they behave in a strange way. And people ask, why are they doing this? They say, oh, don't mind them. They follow one man called Christ. They are teaching about one man that died. One so-called man that died. That is a Christ. I forget them. They are just Christians. So the question is, who were called Christians? Believers. And who are believers? Sons of God. So, were you not Christian? Were you not behaving like Christ? Were you not following Christ? Were you not teaching Christ? Were you not preaching Christ? So, what do you expect them to call you? So, who is a Christian? A son of God. So, sometimes people don't make a guess. We are not a Christian. We are son of God. Can you imagine? Unbelievers gave us a name. And we got what name? They gave you a name after what you represent. You represent Christ in all ways. So sons of God are Christians. Even if it is now become a religious thing, so that even some people that are not born again are Christians, right? But the truth is that the original people who inherited the name of Christians, is it a bad name? Is it a bad name? You are a follower of Christ. You behave like Christ. You talk about Christ. So is it a bad thing? Even if you were called Christians, were you cursed? You were blessed. They even saw Christ in you. For them to even call you, mean you were actually living like Christ. So sons of God are Christians. Christians are sons of God. Don't let anybody drag you into that petty argument. It's very petty. Whether they call you son of God or call you Christian, it is the same thing that they are doing. They name you after your Christ. Are you unhappy if they call you Tonjin? Your father is Tonjin now.
Yes,
Ibe. Your father is Ibe.
Yes,
Abi.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Yes. Why will you be angry that they call you after your old father? Or they call you Birom? Or you, are you not a Biromite? Ngas, or they call you Igbo. Are you not an Igbo? So they identify you with who you are because you behave like them, you think like them, you come from them. So what is wrong? They identify you with Christ. You are a son of God, but they identified you with Christ, your master, your Lord, your Savior. Why are you not making it an argument? Stupidity in the pulpit. Foolishness in the pulpit. People dragging people into unnecessary quarrel, unnecessary argument. The reason why Nicolaitan doctrine is a dangerous doctrine is because the entire Christianity is predicated on the foundation of sacrifice. Done by obedience. Having found himself in the human, in the form of a man, humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. So, he learned obedience by what he has suffered. So, by obedience, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, if you possible, you can spare me the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So, he went to the cross in obedience. So, there can be a sacrifice without obedience. But there can never be an obedience without a sacrifice. That is why I told you that tithe is obedience. Offering is sacrifice. You cannot bring offering without tithe. It's like bringing sacrifice without obedience. Offering is yours to give to God whatsoever you wish out of what God has blessed you. But tithe is not yours to give to God. It's an obedience of 10% required by the high priest of heaven. Melchizedek, who is Christ. So obedience is always better than sacrifice. Sacrifice is good, but obedience is far better than sacrifice. Obedience is a spearhead, is the arrowhead. And sacrifice, offering, is the body of the arrow. Never you let your offering precede your tithe. Never you bring an offering without a tithe. Don't ever pay 20% tithe. It is not tithe. Don't pay 30% tithe. It is not tithe. Don't give, whether it's give or pay, because some part of the Bible in the book of Hebrews say paid. In Genesis, say give. So don't give or pay the tithe of 50%, 60%, 100%. No, God never asked for it. God said, give me tithe. Tithe means 10%. Finish. Don't try to swallow a camel when you have not swallowed an ant. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Never you swallow a camel when you have not swallowed an ant. You are struggling to swallow tithe, but you want to swallow offering. Never let your offering be without tithe. Don't ever carry one big money and come and lump it in the ground. Oh, this is $1 million. I'm giving it to God. Hey, sir, what is this? It's an offering. Okay, I can collect it from your hand. All right? Yes, I can. Because you're not a member of my church. I don't know you. You say you came from somewhere. You gave me offering. You said the Lord said you should give me offering. It's okay, I collect it. But do you tithe? Do you tithe? He said, no, I don't tithe. I just give God offering whenever I want. And I give God any amount that comes into my heart to give. He said, sir, please, can you sit down? Can I talk to you? You gave God offering. Did you struggle with it? No. Sir, how much is this offering? $1 million. How much is the 10% of this offering? $100,000, right? Sir, which one is easier to do? To give me $1 million or to give me $100,000? Say it's easier to give $100,000. Sir, tithe is easier than offering. Do you know that, sir? Say it is. Sir, what have you paid the tithe of that money from which you gave me the offering? He say, well, that's the money. The money was just $200. And I chose to give God $100. I want to make it half-half. He says, Safa, I like you. Eh? That's why I'm telling you the truth. Take this $100. All right? Add with the $100 you have. Remove $200,000. Bring it to me. Or give it to your pastor if you have a pastor. All right? Then if you're so pleased to give me the $90,000 that remains of the $100,000, the $1 million you brought me, you can bring it back. Say, why is that? But I gave both the money. But you didn't mention to me that you are giving me tithe and offering. You just brought a lump back. But the money I'm giving you is more than the 10%. Sir, that is why we are telling you that the tithe is better than the offering. If you gave me $100,000 and kept the $90,000, I mean the $900,000, you'd be a better man. You'd be a better man. So, but I don't get it. That is the point. Tithe is obedience. Offering is sacrifice. You willingly give it as you want. So Jesus didn't give a sacrifice that was not born out of obedience. That's why the Holy Ghost captured what happened in Mount Olive. How Jesus was struggling with the death. How he finally submitted to God and said, thy will be done. So it's obedience. Having found himself in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. So he obeyed, for he learned obedience by what he suffered. All right? So he obeyed and gave sacrifice. When we obey God, when we give our life to Christ, Christianity is predicated on sacrifice of Jesus done by obedience. And he said, carry your cross. As I carried my cross, carry your own. Meaning that everybody will make a sacrifice. So now, if Nicolaitan doctrine is upheld, what if the sacrifice the Holy Ghost is telling me to make is to give up my education for the ministry? To hang my education on the cross. To nail my education. Meaning I don't have an education. What if the Holy Ghost says, sir? And I say, Holy Ghost, what do I sacrifice? Because I'm carrying my cross as Jesus carried his own. What do I hang on this cross? Amen?
Amen.
What do I hang on it? And the Holy Ghost says, you know, we hung on the cross with Jesus Christ in the flesh. We didn't hang on our own cross with Jesus. No, we hung on his cross with Jesus. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life, nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, I live by the love of the Son of God, but the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. So we are crucified with Christ. Nonetheless, we live in him. So when he was crucified, our flesh, we were crucified with him. Why should we carry our own cross again? Because there is a sacrifice you will make of your own. Now, what if the sacrifice I choose or the sacrifice God chooses for me? I am wrestling with God. And God said, I need a sacrifice from you. And I said, Lord, what will I sacrifice? God said, your education. No, Lord. I need that. God said, that's it. He said, God, can't I do it? He said, no, that's it. And then you surrender and said, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. Then you ditch your education. You no longer chase after education. You go after Jesus, after the word of God. And then somebody comes down the line and says, you should go back to school to go and read. Because you won't be accepted in the community of men if you don't have so-so-so degree or so-so-so standing. It means he's spitting on your sacrifice. He's trampling on your sacrifice. Those are the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli were vagabonds. The Bible says that when the people bring the sacrifice, say, let us burn off the fat, you can do what they want with the flesh. They say, no, we want both the fat and the flesh. So they trample on the sacrifice of God. So they want you educated. They want you rich. They want you with skill. God wants to burn the fat out of you. And the fat he wants to take is your education or your skill or whatever you have as an advantage. Look at all the religions of Satan and see what, let me not use that word because we are dealing with internet. Look at all other religions of other people and see what sacrifice they made. Look at Buddha. Buddha was a prince in the palace. They want to succeed his father as a king. He left the palace, left everything, and went in the search of God, in the search of the greater light. He sacrificed his own right as a prince to search for what he considered to be the light. Sat under a tree for months upon months upon months, eating only one grain of rice per day. Buddhism has spread all over the world because of the sacrifice of Buddha. Sacrifice is powerful. Only obedience is greater than it. Offering is powerful. For the sacrifice of Jesus was an offering. But it was obedience that took him there. Tithe is more powerful than offering. Don't let the devil take the power of the arrow away and make you fire an arrow without an arrowhead. It's easier to pay tithe than to give offering. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
But people are fighting what is easier. No. There's no doctrine that can fight tithe.
Yes, sir.
There is no teaching in the whole Bible against tithe.
Yes, sir.
No pastor attempted it anywhere in the Bible. Jesus never tried it. Paul never tried it. Peter never tried it. Read the whole epistle. No pastor attempted. The only thing they are teaching is that tithe is an Old Testament thing. And the Bible is telling us that Abraham's covenant with God, the law cannot nullify it. So you can't nullify tithe along with the law.
Yes.
So now you come and then somebody now say, no, the society will not respect you unless you have a degree or at least an OND or at least a diploma of any kind or higher than you. Meaning, go back on your sacrifice. Oh, they cannot respect you unless you are a former civil servant, a former banker, a former accountant, a former skilled man, a former police officer, when they know you have hone your skill somewhere before you came out to be a pastor, then they will give you respect. Then we're Nicolaitan doctrine. Nicolaitan doctrine is aimed at not letting you make your sacrifice. It's aimed at not letting you carry your own cross because you are going to make sacrifice on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Because the kingdom of heaven is predicated on sacrifice, this Christianity is predicated on the sacrifice that each one of us make. That is why you cannot give any guideline as to what a man should be before he answers the call or before he represents God in the call. Neither can you say, yes, you gave your life to Christ, you were called when you were nothing, but build yourself up, get a degree, get the calling. You can't say that because that is going back on the sacrifice. He can decide to stay like that for life. The only thing the Lord asks us to do is grow in the knowledge of God.
Yes, sir.
Grow in it. Study it more. Read it more. Get the Holy Ghost to teach you more of it. Grow in it. So don't trample on anybody's sacrifice. Because it is the sacrifice that makes his ministry tick. There is no minister called by God that will not lay a sacrifice on his own cross like Jesus did. For Jesus was also a minister called by God. The sacrifice that Paul made was that he left his position as a Pharisee, a politician in his country, and left his legal profession. Then he did not marry. These two sacrifices are what he made on his own cross that enabled him to give all his life to serving the Lord. Therefore, he can travel all over that Asian region and fulfill his gospel all the way to London, all the way to France, all these places that people are now knowing now. Their names were not what it is today. But Paul pushed himself beyond the limit to get to the gospel there. If he had a wife and child, will he be able to do that much? So that was a sacrifice he made. He sacrificed his position in the country. He was fighting for the good of his country. He left that. He was a politician, a senior politician, a senior senator, who had a, he was like a general, a major general by rank. All right? And he led an army to destroy the church. All those advantages, he said that those were what he sacrificed for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ in order to pursue after this righteousness. You cannot serve God in obedience without a sacrifice. That's why the Nicolaitan doctrine is dangerous, because it turns people away from sacrifice. Look at how Jesus said. He said, he that has gone out of the house, let him not return back. He that is on the rooftop, you know, he say, whatever you hear in the house, blow it up on the rooftop. So what is the rooftop? Ministry. So he that is already in ministry, let him not return back into the house to come and pick something he forgot. He said, the field is ripe for harvest. Pray that the laborers will go into the field. So what is the field? Ministry. And say, he that is in the field should not come back into the city to pick anything. So when a pastor stands on the rooftop and said, what were you before you became a pastor? He said, I'm nothing. I don't even have a secondary school certificate. I don't even have a primary school certificate. He said, please, sir, you can't be on the rooftop. Go down into the house. Pick your primary school certificate. Put your secondary school. Pick your diploma. Then we will give you a ladder that will expressly bring you to the top. That is what Oyedepo was doing. Tell people, go back and get a qualification. When you have gotten the qualification, come, you will expressly get a pastoral office. That's what Miles Moreau came all the way to Nigeria to come and sell as gospel. That's not a gospel. And I told people that time I was pastoring in Agbado in Lagos. I said, what Miles Moreau do is annoying God, because Jesus hates it. And it's going to cost him his life. I said it. I wish I can find the tape. That time we were using tape, not CD. There was no CD. It was tape. You put it. Then you must dub the tape. Brap, brap, brap. You understand what I'm saying? So it was tape message I was using then. Then our video was VHS. They will video you. Do you understand? So you would now put the video in that old CD video player to play your, you can see yourself. You understand? Our neck long like Lucifer. We are breathing, you understand what I'm saying? Preaching with fat coat that is bigger than us. Because poverty want to slay us inside the pulpit until we learn the secret of wealth. And what was the secret of wealth that I learned? Tithe.
Amen, sir.
That is what I used to get out of poverty, as I told you people last time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, Miles Moreau will pay with his life. And he paid with his life. Why? One day, the God that lives in Bahamas entered the airplane, his own private jet, going to preach somewhere. And then the wing of the plane hit on a pole. And that is how the God in Bahamas died and left the world. Miles Moreau was the God that lives in Bahamas, that goes around the world and comes back to Bahamas, according to his own teaching. So one day the God went to, monkey went to market and never came back. If they ask Miles Moreau why he died, in heaven he now knows why he died. That is wherever he made it. But the people here don't know why he died. Nicolaitan doctrine. It is self-destructive. It kills the person teaching it. It turns the heart of Jesus against you anytime you preach that doctrine. Because Jesus knows that it is aimed at sacrifice. It is setting up a standard so that even if that thing that they require in that city, in every place in the world, Nicolaitan doctrines are different. What requirements are different. And all those requirements are aimed at making sure you don't offer God the sacrifice he would ask of you. But the devil fears tithe obedience. He fears obedience so much, but he fears sacrifice too. Offering is very strong, but offering is not up to tithe in strength. Tithe is 10 times stronger than offering. If you hit the devil with tithe, boom, now one blow, 10 die. If you hit the devil with tithe, is the strength of tithe is more than the strength of offering. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Anyhow, offering train, even if offering runs interstate for 18 hours non-stop, and then lift up weight for 1 hour non-stop, develop his muscle like an Schwarzenegger, and they put him in the ring with offering, and offering only tithe only practices 6 hours in a day, both the running and the carrying of weight. By the time they will carry offering out of the ring, because he cannot walk again. Amen. By the time in round one, offering will manage to endure. Tithe will just be doing Muhammad Ali. When he has exhausted himself, tithe will begin to jab him. By round five, when he give him bar, offering will just lie down on the ground. They will just, referee will just, the coach will just throw the towel. Referee will just click. If you put offering with tithe in a fight 10 times, offering tithe will beat offering 10 times. Offering can never win tithe once. Even if tithe is just 1 naira, it will beat $1 billion offering, black and blue. So the devil knows what he wants to get out of the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So after he has tackled tithe, he now wants to tackle sacrifice by Nicolaitan doctrine. And Jesus knows where he's aiming at. Never you let the devil deceive you, for we are not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. I think I should have done with that aspect of anybody wanting to exalt himself by learning or by any means of this world above another. I don't have to overflog that, right?
Yes.
The world should know that it is wrong for somebody to want to exalt himself by learning. And so when I hear a devil, is, I can prove that mathematically. It's all part of the Nicolaitan crap. So much Nicolaitan doctrines are in the world. You see somebody like Enenche. Does he know? He will be mentioning some medical names every time. Does he know anything about seriotesis? Babradidesis? This is Nicolaitan teachings. It's Nicolaitan teaching. I see all this Nicolaitan spirit flying in people like Enenche, Adeboye. Now we have one Nicolaitan, Papa Nicolaitan called Abel Damina. Black. This Abel Damina something about is like pot calling Ketu black. It's the same thing. They are the same people. It's only preeminence that they are looking for. Who is who? Who was there before who? Who is supposed to teach who? That is what is the cause of all this problem. Strive. Say the minister of God must not strive.